in the name of Jesus. How great the love of God that he would send his beloved Son for us men and for our salvation. Before the flood, our Lord's heart grieved that he had created man. Every inclination of man's heart was only evil all the time. Wickedness filled the earth, not the wickedness of murder and adultery, but the wickedness of unbelief. No one feared God, no one loved God, no one trusted in God. So he sent a flood. Yet the flood did not fix anything. Multiplying languages did not help. Even fire from heaven did not help. Man's heart remained only evil all the time. So the Father sent his beloved Son, knowing full well what fallen man would do to him. And yet knowing full well that the Son could bear the sins of the world and make atonement by his blood. Sin stokes the wrath of God. We can't sugarcoat it. Sins of the heart that don't affect anyone else stoke the wrath of God and merit hell. And yet Jesus doesn't die because of the Father's wrath. He dies because God is love. In love, he lays his beloved Son on the cross. God stayed Abraham's hand, but the Father would not stay his own hand, but sacrificed his Son as an offering for the world. Each blow is an act of the Father's love, each wound a mark of love, each drop of blood a drop of love for us men and for our salvation. Jesus doesn't die because the Father is angry. Jesus dies because the Father is love. Yes, wrath is poured out. Hell is emptied on Christ. He is forsaken, rejected, and abandoned. But only because God is love. And he could not bear to forsake you. So blood flows, not your blood, but his. Love flows. Not the love that you have for God, but the love that God has for you. The Father does not force the Son to go, but the Son goes willingly, not begrudgingly. He desires your salvation, even as the Father does. So silently, as a lamb before her shears is silent, so also Christ did not open up his mouth. For he knew, as he stood before Annas, Caiaphas, and Pilate, that one word would send legions of angels, and he desired not the destruction of man. He desired that he would die in the place of these men. So he does not complain, though they keep him up all night with sham trials and false accusations. He does not grumble or roll his eyes, but silently submits to their false accusations, so that he might be the world's redeemer. You are part of this world. You have inherited that same fallen flesh which plagued the pre-flood world. Your fate should be no different. This is your guilt, not his. This is your sin, not his. This is your punishment, not his. Yet he eagerly takes it upon his own shoulders, and he would have it no other way. He's completely dedicated to the task at hand so that he might win salvation for you. In love, he willingly stretches out his hands so the nails would not miss their mark. In love, he grasps those nails firmly for 6 hours so that he might finally declare, "It is finished. Nothing more needs to be done. Salvation is secure, for sin is paid for." His life slowly ebbed away. Still, he does not grumble. His strength is sapped, his lips parched, his eyes blurred. Still, he will not complain. He languishes under the weight of sin and the torments of hell. The loving Father forsakes the beloved Son. But he would have it no other way. "Do not weep for me," he says. So do not feel sorry for Jesus. He doesn't feel sorry for himself. This is why he came. Willingness fills his heart. No regrets, no second guessing, no wanting to go back and try a different method. The Son rejoices that the Father created Adam and Eve. The Son rejoices that he chose him and not Barabbas, condemned him and not the world, killed him and not Caiaphas or Pilate. The Father's love is beyond all measure, and so is the love of the Son. And this is the love the Father has for you, that he would send his Son for you. So whether day or night, health or sickness, in success or failures, whether all alone or surrounded by a multitude, whether in times of plenty or times of scarcity, in times of war, in times of peace, at every and any moment in your life, the Father is your dear Father because the blood of Christ has made you his child. So do not grumble, do not worry, do not complain about what you see out there. Yes, life is hard. But remember those wounds. Remember the love of the Father. If he did not withhold his only begotten Son, but gave him up for us all, would he leave you to a life of suffering, pain, and death? As he has loved you, so you also love him. And willingly take up the task that he has given to you, out of thanks and praise for all that he has done for you. For what greater treasure do you have than that of the blood of Christ? The world's wealth is rubbish compared to the blood of Christ. Financial stability and a clean economy or a peaceful nation is nothing compared to the blood of Christ. Even friends and family cannot compare to Christ's blood. Let all these be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom is ours through the blood of Christ. Let it never be taken away from us. By it he has won for us all things. For the life of a creature is in his blood, and God has given that blood to make atonement for every sin. So Jesus must die a bloody death. For it is by that blood you are saved. And so in sorrow, his blood is your joy. In conflict, it is your peace. In thirst, it is your drink. In want, it is your satisfaction. In loneliness, it is your comfort. In joy, it is your song. It leads and guides and protects you from every sin, death, and the power of the devil. Blessed are you who are washed in the blood of Christ. Blessed are you who drink his blood for the forgiveness of your sins, for it drives out all wickedness, sin, and every vice. It fills you with new life. It enlivens your tired bones and energizes your weary souls. It does far more than you could ask for or even comprehend. For this is the atoning blood of God himself. It makes you new and holy and righteous and perfect and immortal. It fills you with the very life of Christ himself. It courses through your veins. For by faith he dwells in you, and you dwell in him. It was spilled for you and is now given to you. From the days of Noah, from the time of the flood, Old Testament believers were forbidden from drinking blood because there was no life in the blood of any animal. But God graciously commands us, New Testament believers, to drink the blood that saves. How great is the Father's love that he has poured out on us. How eternal is the work of the Son. The Father's love is seen on that cross. The Son's love is seen in that spilled blood. Take and drink for the forgiveness of all your sins. In Jesus' name.